Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
Good morning, everyone. Hopefully this is going well. As I little set up, just grateful to be back again. And one thing that you'll know about me, sometimes I'm transparent. So this morning is a little challenging, so let's just be honest. You know, we had a rough morning, but praise the Lord, we made it. For those who are online and those here for the first time, we want to welcome you here at Mosaic Church. One of the blessings is Ashton's mother is with us for a week, so we get to see her before she heads back and then back to India. And so it's a blessing to have her here. And it's good to see some of the familiar faces. Let me open in a word of prayer before I begin and just calm my spirit. Father, we appreciate the praises. We appreciate the word. We appreciate the music. We appreciate that we are here alive. And Lord, we need your spirit to continue to guide us, to calm our spirits, even mine, to be aligned with you, to bring you glory, to make much of you, so that we would be eclipsed, and that your radiance through your Son and through your Spirit we would embrace. Lord, you're so good to us, and sometimes we forget that. And I personally thank you for all the trials that I go through, because it reminds me that I cannot sustain myself. There are some here who are struggling and going through so many things that it is a good thing to know that you are the one that sustains them and know everything intimately about them. And it is you who allows these things to go so that they can look to you. And there are some of us who are rejoicing, excited. And so we want to honor those two. We bless you and we thank you for this hour. Amen and amen. So the title of the message is "The Word of the Lord Gives Eternal Life." And we know that begins with Jesus. So this past week, I had the opportunity to go to a place which is called Oars. And Oars is a rehab. Basically, people who have issues with drugs. And there was three individuals that I got to talk to. One was from New York. The other gentleman was from Illinois and one from Florida. And we got to talk about many things. But as the teacher and the facilitator, I got to share the good news, the gospel, eternal life. But afterwards, two of the gentlemen left because class was dismissed, and there was one individual. And we began to talk about many things, about the gospel, eternal life, forgiveness. But what I found out as I began to ask him questions is that he didn't subscribe to the view that I was presenting. See, in his mind, Jesus is a way and not the way. See, he saw all worldviews led to the way, and Jesus included. And so there was a controversial issue between me and him, but we were cordial. I expressed my concern. I didn't bash him. I didn't condemn him. Why? Because I wanted to extend the compassion that I received. And at the end of our conversation, we realized that we had to disagree, and it was okay. And you can pray for that individual, because guess what? I am not Jesus. I am not the Holy Spirit, but I am a messenger to bring the word and to declare it. And you know what? As we look in our text today, we're going to see three things. One of them is the word is captivating. The word is captivating. That is, that the word is interesting. It grabs your attention. It locks you in, because guess what? It's alive. The second point we're going to look at is controversial. In our text, we're going to see Paul get persecuted twice. The first time he's going to make a defense, but we're going to see later on in the text, the second time he has nothing to say, and they kick him and his team out of the region. And then the third is the word is celebratory. We're going to see people turn to the word, the gospel and receive eternal life. And they're going to celebrate, and we're going to see that today. So I'm reading through the ESV, the English Standard Version. I'm going to read the whole text. It's Acts 13, verse 42 to 52. And it says this, "And as they went out, the people begged that these things might be told to them next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear what? The word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourself unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spread throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited devout women of high standing and leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Our first point is the word is captivating. The word is captivating. Notice here, as they went out. They is referring to Paul and Barnabas. For those who are just joining in for the first time, those online, let me just give you a refresh. Pastor Fryer last week talked about Paul and Barnabas. They travel, they land in Antioch. If you don't know where Antioch is, the Mediterranean Sea, and then on the my right side, which would be the east, is Israel. Several hundred miles north of that is Antioch. And Paul and Barnabas would go there, and they would go to the synagogue, because they knew that the word of the Lord would be preached there, and they would hear it. And we see that some of the men said, hey, do you have anything to say? And Paul says, yes, I do. And he gets up, and he talks about the history of Israel. Then he talks about David and his offspring, Jesus, who would bring what? Forgiveness and salvation. And then he ends in verse 41 that there is imminent judgment coming from the book of Habakkuk. It is there that we are jumping into. And here, as they finished, they went out and the people begged that these things might be told to them next Sabbath. They begged. They were captivated. They wanted to hear more. So they began to discuss things. Notice as it goes on, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism follow Paul and Barnabas. Why would they follow them? Because they wanted to hear more of the word, specifically the gospel, relating to Jesus, the good news. Then it goes on to say, Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, in the original language, spoke is imperfect tense, meaning they dialogued afterwards. There was a conversation. It might have happened minutes or maybe hours. We're not told, but there's a dialogue going on. And then it says, Paul and Barnabas urged them to continue in the grace of God. It's kind of like when I finish here and I preach and I'm heading my way, exiting. Some of you come and talk with me and we catch up. It is the same idea. Paul and Barnabas are leaving. And as they're done with their conversation, he says, continue in the grace of God. And that phrase, grace of God, could be multiple things. I think we can land safely in two ways. The first one is that there are people who seeking God's favor. After hearing their word, they're interested, they're captivated. And so Paul says, continue in the grace of God. Continue to seek him. Or it could mean that some actually experience God's grace, that they embrace Jesus. And so for them, Paul is saying, continue in the grace of God. We're not sure, but it could be one or the other, that there are people who are interested and there are people who are born again. Our second point, the word is controversial. Notice verse 44 through 51. It's a long portion. This is where we're going to spend most of our time. It says this, the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. So a week has gone by. And so it'd be something of this nature. Let's say we had a guest speaker here at Mosaic, and all of a sudden there's a crowd. Why? Because they wanted to hear what? The word of the Lord. And so you can imagine during the week, the Jews or the Gentiles are sharing with their friends, say, hey, there's this message that we've never heard. It's captivating. How about you come to the synagogue? It's kind of basically inviting people to church. The ultimate pinnacle of church is hearing the word of God. Not the messenger, but the word of God. And so as you can imagine that, that's what's happening. Notice it goes on in verse 45, but there's a change of the mood of the text. When the Jews saw the crowds, the magnitude, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. Notice they saw the crowd. Now, we're not told what that jealousy was about, but we can guess that it was one or the other, or maybe both. One of it is now that Paul and Barnabas are preaching the gospel that the Jesus, the Messiah, the king is come. Guess what? The popularity is with them and not the Jews. Or it could be because the Gentiles brought other Gentiles. And for a Jew to see a Gentile, and by the way, a Gentile is basically can be summarized in this. There's Jews and then there's everyone else. So if you're black, white, brown, you're a Gentile. And that's how God had it in the beginning. He picked this nation, the Jews. And so for a Jew to see a Gentile, if they weren't following the way of Moses, guess what? They were pagans. They were a defilement. So it could be that that's why they were jealous, but we're not told. It could be because of the popularity, the message, or because there's Gentiles in the synagogue. It goes on to say that, notice it says they were filled with what? Jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul. They're probably saying, you know what? The law of Moses shows us that it's not Jesus. That it's not him that you say that brings forgiveness and salvation. It's the law of Moses. But guess what? The law of Moses pointed to Jesus. And they didn't see that. And so they're trying to contradict Paul and Barnabas. Not only do they attack the message, what do they attack? The messenger. You see that? They reviled him. That word reviled means blasphemy. They were attacking his character. Who is this guy? And so one way to eliminate Paul and Barnabas, you attack the message, and then you attack the messenger. Notice what Paul and Barnabas during this minor confrontation. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out what? Boldly. Notice they weren't passive. One of the sad things in America, especially among Christians, is that when someone disagrees, we turn the other way thinking that's okay. And if the Holy Spirit leads you, it's okay. But if the Holy Spirit calls you to take a step and engage, guess what? You need to take that step and engage. I gotta be honest, not all my conversations were like that. There were times that I was ashamed and I went the other way. But praise God that he's a God who forgives. He was able to help me when I got to talk to the gentleman that we have two different views of Jesus. But here we see Paul and Barnabas, they engage. And we as believers need to engage, not only here in Mosaic, but also everywhere. We need to be prepared. And here Paul and Barnabas are prepared. They speak boldly, saying it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, referring to the Jews. Why? Because if you did a history from Genesis, you would see God picking people. Then he would pick who? The Jews as his people. Why? Because they were great? No, because they were weak. So that he could show his greatness. You know the stories. Moses, he didn't want to do it, made excuses, but God still used him. He would go to Pharaoh. You know the story. Pharaoh's like, I'm not hearing this. The people are slaves. And then God unleashes his greatness. How many plagues were there? Talk to me. 10. Yes. 10 plagues. And then what happened? Pharaoh recognized that there is a Lord and God bigger than his gods. And so it was necessary for you to hear the word of God. But notice what the continues. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourself unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. That word thrust aside means to push away, not to hear it. Or in football terms, stiff arm. You don't want to hear any of it. And so Paul is saying, guess what? Since you're stiff arming, not wanting to hear it, you're unworthy of eternal life. That's some hard words. Now, I got to be honest, folks. I didn't say that to the guy that I was talking to. I figure after sharing the gospel and giving a little quiz, he recognized what I was trying to paint. But Paul, he says, you are unworthy of eternal life. That only came through the word. And he says, now we're going to go to the Gentiles. You're going to go to the Gentiles. Notice it continues in verse 47. For so the Lord has commanded us. He's given us clear instructions, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. So now Paul and Barnabas, their first missionary trip, they're going to these synagogues. And what you see time and time again, if you read through Acts, is they would start there and they would get persecuted. But guess what? There would be a few who would follow the way. Notice it goes on. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. See, you can't stop God's word. The only way you can stop someone is what? Kill them. Execute them. Yes.
Kindness.
That is one way. But for those who are persecuting the Christians, I wish they were kind, my friend. But they're not. And you can look in the Middle East and India and Africa and China where our brothers and sisters are being slaughtered because of Jesus. But here we see the word is spreading despite persecution. Goes on to say in verse 50, but the Jews incited the devout women of high standing. Notice in the first century, women had a position. You know, sometimes we overlook that. There we go. Come on, woman. Amen. Amen. Now, if that came across wrong, I apologize. That's not what my intent. I was like, come on. Devout women of high standing and leading men of the city stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, notice, and drove them out of the district. The Jews leveraged their influence in the community. They went to the leadership and said, hey, there's some men that we need to kick out because they are not following what we believe, our worldview, our beliefs, our culture. And so notice Paul and Barnabas, guess what? They don't get an opportunity to speak boldly. They're just kicked out. Here's the second time we see persecution. Why? Because the word of God, particularly Jesus, the gospel, the good news that brings eternal life, is controversial. But notice what Paul and Barnabas do in verse 51. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium. They shook their dust. It's a symbolic of judgment. Not for everyone, because guess what? The word of God is being spread. But for those who would reject Jesus. Amen, brother. Amen. But notice last, where did they go? Iconium. They didn't say, oh, the door is closed, or oh, they don't want to hear it, or the people don't like us. They went somewhere else. And we too need to realize that God's given us opportunities to share, always starting at the home front. Because guess what? In the home front, it could be controversial. There are people and friends that I've seen that it's hard to share the word among their spouse, even their kids. There was one guy, you could be praying for him. I met him in Easley. I was finishing one class in teaching. And as I'm leaving, the teacher comes in. I asked, we started talking. I shared what I was teaching out of the book of Ruth. And I asked him, how can I pray for you? And this broke my heart. He said his two sons grew up in a Christian home. But guess what their views are today? They're atheists. I know there's some controversial going on in there. And it's hard. It's not easy to share Jesus. But they went on to Iconium. Our last point, the word is celebratory. The word is celebratory. Are you saying dad? I think you're saying dad. It says, and when the Gentiles heard this, now I'm going back. You remember when Paul was talking and saying it was necessary for you to hear the word of the Lord? And then he said, you push it aside. You remember when I was preaching about that? And then he says, now the word is going to the Gentiles. That's where this part is coming in. I'm going back to that text. It says, and when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. I don't know if it was like little man here squealing, but they were excited. They were celebrating. Why? Because they get to have eternal life. They get to hear the message. Notice it says, as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. We see the sovereignty of God that he appointed some to believe. And so we see God's role in salvation. But notice the last word, believed, the human responsibility. See, God knows how things are going to be played out in his sovereignty. But guess what? We as human beings have a responsibility to receive the message of God. And that word believe means to have confidence, to be absolutely sure. And so those who believe, those who had faith in Jesus, guess what they have? They have eternal life. They were born again. They have salvation. In other words, they were justified. That word justified, if you can remember these two components of justify, it makes it all the difference. The first one is to be forgiven of all your sins, past, present, and future. The second point is made right. And so when someone believes, they are justified. That means their position with God is made right. Not by their works, not by anything they could do, but it's because what Jesus did in the cross, amen? And because Jesus satisfied God's righteous wrath, we embrace his righteousness. See, when you and I offend a holy and just God, there's eternal consequences called hell. And so Jesus, being the substitute, absorbs that. And so for those such in this text believe, guess what? They were justified, forgiven of all their sins, and made right. Now here's another word. They were not only justified in one moment, but they were also sanctified. That word sanctify, basically in its simplest form, is be more like Jesus. Be more like Jesus. In other words, your lifestyle, your performance. So when they were justified, that was their position. That's their identity. And then their lifestyle reflects their identity, not the other way around. See, we live in a certain way because we show our appreciation that we've been justified. So guess what? Why are they rejoicing? Because they know that salvation has come to them. Why are they celebrating? Because they know that they are part of God's family. It goes on to say, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. The phrase disciples is followers of Jesus. We're not told if this is Paul and the missionary team or the new believers. I take this in my personal own view, so this is not scripture, that this is a summary of what happened. Man, he's loud today, huh? That's what happens when you grow up. Hey, come on. Come on now. And so the disciples, whether it be Paul and Barnabas or the young believers, notice the marks of a Christian filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean you don't have bad days or hard days, but when you spend time in the Word and you're filled with the Spirit, there's joy and it's contagious. People are drawn to that. I remember back in the days when I was in the military, there were some of the guys that I was talking to, and they were like, man, these people are coming to me and we're talking about the Lord. And I said, hey, always remember, they're not there for you, but for Jesus who's in you, and he's drawing. And so like us, we need to remember that. When we spend time with the Lord and hear his word, we're going to have joy, and it's going to draw people. So as we reflect, and as I come close to landing the plane, or our fourth quarter, the word of the Lord gives eternal life. We saw the word is captivating, controversial, and celebratory. I want you to just take time to reflect. And so I'm going to change those same things and ask you questions. And I just want you to think to yourself, where are you? This is not to condemn you. This is not to beat you up. This is not to say you need to do more. But it just allows you to realize if you do have a relationship with Jesus, how's it going? You know, this morning I was talking about it was a rough morning. See, me and my wife are on the same page. But say, guess what? Say I offended her. I need to be honest with myself. I need to do something to make right. And in the same thing with our relationship with Jesus, how are you doing? Because guess what? If he is captivating, he's going to be controversial. Because you can't hide Jesus. There is no undercover Christians unless you're in a hostile environment. So here's the first question. Is the word captivating? Do you find the word when you were a young believer and you heard the message, you was reading the Bible, is it still there? And if it is, celebrate. I was speaking at a college campus, actually Clemson University, and one of the things I encouraged those who are following Jesus says, you need to celebrate that. We as Christians don't celebrate and rejoice in many things. So if you are following Jesus passionately and captivating because of the word, celebrate that. But if you're not, guess what? It's okay because you're his child. What parent would reject his child for not wanting to spend? So for you, maybe it's like, hey, you know what? I need to talk to my father. I need to get into the word. One of the things I challenge disciples, there's four guys a disciple, and I say, are you a weekly person? Do you read it once or twice? Do you know what some of the men say? Anyone want to guess how many times they read? Go ahead. 20. 20. That's a good guess. That's a good guess. They say they read it every single day. And guess what happens when we meet up again? And I ask them, how did you do? Do you want to know what the figure is? It's less than 7. So wherever you are, I'm not saying you have to be a super Christian, but is the word captivating? If you could read only once, then read it once. Because if the relationship is important, you're going to be in the word. And this is a side note, and this is not judging, so I'm prefacing. For we as men that live here in America who are believers, we are called to lead our families. The reason why our society is what it is, we can blame many things, but I believe it starts at the home front. And I am guilty of this. But the good news is, there are other men that we can come alongside, and they can come alongside us. So start at the home front for those who are married or have a special person in their life. And those who are grandparents, because I see some gray hairs and no hairs, guess what? Share with your children, your grandchildren. Does that make sense? Talk to me. What am I trying to articulate? Someone share with me. Yes. Yes, particularly with the word. We need to get the word. Thank you for listening. Your name is?
Hunter.
Hunter. Thank you, Hunter. Hunter is bringing the game. Thank you. Is the word controversial? Now, if you're not a believer, it's definitely controversial because the scriptures clearly says, hey, this is the way you're living and this is the way God wants you to live. And you get his grace and his mercy. But guess what? If the word's captivating, it's going to cause some issues. It's going to cause problems. Maybe in the home front, maybe with your coworkers, maybe with your friends. Again, you can't hide the word to the point that you don't share it. This past summer, I shared how I failed. I don't know if you remembered. God put it on my heart for 2 straight weeks to share someone in our apartment complex. And to be honest, I was afraid. I gave in to fear. I don't want you to see me standing up here preaching the word that I got it all figured out. I'm still learning, people. But guess what? For us, if we share the word, there's going to be some controversial issue. There's no doubt about it. Even with the gentleman that I got to have a cordial debate, that his view is what? Jesus is a way, but not the way. And I was like, no, he's the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. And then last, is the word celebratory. When's the last time you just praised the Lord just having the word? We know there are other countries that don't have the privilege that we have all 66 books that we call the Holy Scripture, the inerrancy of the word of God. When's the last time you said, Lord, thank you for the word? You know, Brother James is reading through Psalms 119. If you know Psalms 119, it's all pointing back to the word. And the word points to who? Jesus. And if you haven't given thanks for the word, simple prayer, even now. He's like, Lord, thank you for the word. So, the word of the Lord gives eternal life. And we saw it in three different ways. Captivating, controversial, and celebratory. Let me close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you that you're good to us. I pray that as we go our separate ways, Lord, that you would help us to be captivated by the word. That we would start with ourselves. And Lord, whether we're doing well or not, Lord, we thank you that we have a relationship with you. And Lord, as we continue walking this walk of faith, being captivated, that when we begin to share, we know there will be controversial issues, that people will have different opinions and convictions. Help us to be bold like Paul and Barnabas to share the truth. And then last, Lord, help us to celebrate the word that changes and molds us. That is the gospel, the good news that sanctifies us, that makes us more and more like your son, Jesus. So, Father, we just welcome you and continue to ask that you walk with us. In Jesus' precious and holy name, for your glory and for our good and the good of others. Amen and amen. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaiceasley.org.